Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Allison Stewart. Before there was In the Heights, before this thing called Hamilton, there was a collective called Freestyle Love Supreme. Oh, they're here and they're ready to go. Lin-Manuel Miranda was a founding member of this innovative troupe, which combines freestyle rap and improv comedy. The original crew first hit the stage back in 04, and they are now back performing in New York by popular demand. Sans Lin-Manuel, at least most of the time, because a special guest or two has been known to show up. Relying on input from the audience in the form of verbs, nouns, and even stories, the crew takes music, also improvised beats provided by beatboxer extraordinaire Chris Sullivan. Hey, Chris.
Yep.
You never know what might happen, and the guys on stage don't really know either, and that's part of the whole fun. Along with Chris, we're joined today by founding member Anthony Venziali. Hi.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. Utkarsh Ambudkar, a.k.a. UTK.
She got mine better than yours.
I practiced it longer.
Yes,
you should.
We just watched you in Pitch Perfect this weekend.
Oh, cool.
And over the weekend.
Yeah,
while we're traveling.
Lin wishes he was in Pitch Perfect. He always, she's like, ah.
He always says that to you.
He would trade the ham for the old pitch any day.
That's true.
Wait, I have to introduce one more person.
Sorry. Yes, please.
The Tony Award winning James Monroe.
Thank you very much.
Glad to be here.
This show is running until March 3rd at the Greenwich House Theater. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Is going to be fun.
Thanks for having
Tony
us.
Award winner, 1988.
How dare you?
How dare you, sir?
I was 13 in that year.
Youngest Tony Award winner ever.
I wish.
Anthony, what's the origin story of this group?
Oh, wow. The origin story of this group is probably Wesleyan University, where I did a bunch of improv, and I met a young man by the name of Thomas Michael Kail, also known as the director of Hamilton, and he and I were going to work on a film together, and we drove across country from New York City to Des Moines, Iowa, and the director of that show convinced us to drive straight, to just go all the way through. And we got to Chicago at about 1 in the morning. We're like, how much further is it to Des Moines? So we called up our buddy Aaron, and he was like, just keep going. It's another 2 hours. It's not. And so we were just trying to stay awake. And we put on the Around the World by Daft Punk, which is a delicious song. And we had the single. And the B-side of it is super fast. It's really, really like a quick song. And for 2 hours straight, Tommy and I freestyled to each other about everything. It was just like,
wow.
Great. And that song is so fast that you have no time to think. It goes. It's live. It's already cleared. That was me
news
doing
value.
That.
News value.
Not Shockwave, by the way. So props to myself. Anyway, so we freestyled straight. And then Tommy and I created a production company in New York called Backhouse Productions. We were working on In the Heights. And anytime we had a break, we would freestyle. And Lin and I would sort of do some crazy makeup stuff to have fun and to use it as a tool to help him to write the show. And so I thought, cool, I should really create a freestyle improv show. It's something I love. The shows that I was involved with in improv and in the improv scene in New York City, predominantly white. If you looked at an improv show in like early 2000, you'd see a lot of people who looked like me doing it. And so I thought, why don't we do a show that uses a vernacular that's not particularly white and try to have a lot more diversity on the stage and get different points of view and have fun doing it. So that's the origin story.
So where did it jump from just being you guys messing around to, oh, we're going to do this thing in front of people?
When I joined the group.
That's UTK and also not true. So know that the
Wait,
unreliable
in
narrator.
In his mind, it's true.
It yeah. absolutely yes. is. Yeah, know that the true. Unreliable narrator is a big part of our show. And it's played by Utkarsh Ambudkar. Well pronounced, by the way. Yeah, as of August of 2003, I was doing a bunch of shows at the Pit, the People's Improv Theater, and I was in this troupe called Organitron, and we had an open slot after our show. So there was like two shows usually would happen back to back. They're usually about 45 minutes long each. And this was this thing that I was messing around with Lin and my friend Abe Foreman Greenwald and this other guy, Darren Lorenzo. They were all the sort of like earliest alpha testers of this concept. And so we got a date on the books, which was August 16th of 2003, to do a live show at the People's Improv Theater. So we kind of had to like get it together. We had to have at least some formats that we could play. On August 15th of 2000, well, August 15th of 2003, the Eastern Seaboard blackout happened. And so there was no electricity in most of the city. On August 16th, some of the city was restored to electrical power, and everything above 34th Street had power again. But the pit was at 29th between 6th and 7th. Is that right, Chuck?
Yeah, yeah, it was.
And so we met everybody in front of the theater. We said, the show's still going to go on, because I, along with Tommy and Neil Stewart and John Buffalo Mailer, had just built out the Drama Bookshop Theater. So we got a bunch of money together, and we painted the walls, bought stands, hung curtains. And so we had a theater that we could use. So we met the audience and convinced them to come with candles and beer. and then they all walked up to the theater with us, and we still did a show. We just couldn't do the show that we had kind of rehearsed. But it was, in essence, a blessing, because Bill Sherman showed up, who ended up kind of like plunking on the piano for us to create the music.
Emmy, Grammy, and Tony Award-winning Bill Sherman.
Yes. Totally. Who's really good friends with Lynn. And so this sort of new thing happened on that day. And then after that, I would say maybe 2 or 3 months later, I finally convinced Tommy to like come and see it. He was very busy. He had lots of things that he was doing already. And he came and saw it, and he was like, oh, I see what you're doing. Let's put a little more structure to this. So then Tommy, Lynn, and I kind of sat down and really like very, very specifically thought about the different structures and the different formats, the way to make it a full evening.
That's it, because it is improv, you do have to have structure. Of course, what does the structure do for you?
It just gives us a template in which to play. I mean, enhances our ability to communicate with the audience, right? So if the audience knows the rules to each game and we know the rules, then we're all sort of communicating together and having a good time. How does the structure help me? It sort of clips my wings. It doesn't help. It probably doesn't help me fly as high as I could in other settings. But, you know.
Unfettered Utkarsh Ambudkar.
It's okay. They keep me low to the ground. That's where they like me.
Or it helps lift your wings. It could be the wind beneath, as they say.
Listen, Icarus. Some of us may not want to go so close to the sun.
He's melting.
I'll say this, and the truth is that I came to the group from a battle rap background. I was at the clubs in New York City. I was battling. Like, if anyone's seen the movie 8 Mile, that's what I was doing. And instead of being the white rapper, I was the Indian rapper, and all of the ethnic and cultural stereotypes that come with being Indian were being thrown at me. And hip hop, from my perspective, was very masculine, very ego driven, very much about swinging your pendulum back and forth. And sort of, it was very self-aggrandizing. So when I joined the group, I was very much like that. Like, I'd get on stage and I'd be like, ladies and gentlemen, Caucasian and melanin, I'm the best you ever heard, Indian from Maryland. And Tommy was like, you know, that's all well and good. You're coming to us with what hip hop is sort of thought of, which is this masculine, ego-driven art form. And it's great that you think you're great, but if you can rap about this cup of coffee or WNYC or this foam microphone or the F-train, the history of the F-train, with as much dexterity as you can rap about yourself, you might have something interesting. So he sort of allowed me and challenged me to take these, you know, otherwise innocuous subjects and really dive into them using the skill set. And in that way, it's really fun and freeing as a performer to be like, oh, there's so many things as a rapper to talk about other than myself. I know it sounds so simple, but when you're 21 years old, that's an epiphany. And I was like, what? I'm not the only one here. Let's do this.
And Icarus suddenly learns that solipsism is not self-serving.
Yeah, solipsism.
I knew it.
One of my favorite sauces.
Gotta get more burrito with solipsism.
Yes.
So James, what do you think makes freestyle rap a good vehicle for comedy, for being funny?
I think one of the things that makes comedy is spontaneity, and you don't know what's going to happen. And I think the great thing about hip hop is everybody thinks they know what hip hop is. You know, it's a person and they're speaking in rhyme over some beat that'll make you move your feet. But if we can take that art form and surprise you, that's, first of all, that's going to make you smile anyway. And if there's some kind of punchline, or even if there's not a punchline, it's just where we take a story, people are going to laugh. I think it just works that way. I come from a comedy background. That's what I love to do. So putting hip hop and comedy together was just like a natural thing for me. But I think it surprises the audience, and people are waiting to have a good time. And they're nervous. When they walk into our show, they're nervous because they hear we are going to make up everything. And they're literally on the edge of their seat, like, how are they gonna do it? And as we do it in front of them, they can't help but laugh because it's nervous laughter. And then when the brothers start really going, then it just becomes belly laughter because we've usually said something really, really stupid. And it's awesome.
Chris, how does one know you can make those noises? Like, when did... Yeah, like what? You were just sitting in the backseat of the car one day with your mom and dad. How did you realize you could do this?
Well, for me, being a beatboxer is doing music first and foremost, like being a rhythm keeper and laying down a bed of sound to help support these guys and their words. So to me, it's about keeping the time. It's about experimenting with different sounds. It's about emulating sounds that already exist, whether those are sound effects or actual sounds of drums. You know, it's one of these things. Sometimes I think people got it and some people don't, or it takes a little bit of time to develop, or, you know, it's a trained skill, having rhythm. Some people got it, some people don't. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer to learn it. So I think anybody can learn. And I was blessed, I guess, to sort of have it a little bit more. And so with the training and with working with these guys, I've gotten better at it.
Yeah, this show doesn't work without Shaq.
That's
He's
for sure.
The backbone. And but you also come at it from such an actor's perspective. Like, he'll go on these journeys with sound where he's like in a kitchen making a sandwich, and it seems it all seems so simple. You got to be there, guys.
You have to basically just come to the show. You'll see what's happening.
Well, we're going to put you to the test.
Sure, no problem.
But he'll really explore these soundscapes, which I think a lot of typical rhythmic beatboxers won't do. So you have this improvisational actor's perspective that you bring to it, which I think makes it a lot more interesting than a regular percussionist, vocal percussionist that you'll see in an a cappella group. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. My guests are Anthony, Chris, James, and Utkarsh, part of Freestyle Love Supreme. Okay, so this morning, the staff, everybody put a word in the bucket. Because this is what happened. This is some of the magic that happens
awesome.
On stage.
Yes,
and then you guys will do your thing, right?
Yes. In a Samuel Adams bucket. This freestyle brought to you by not Samuel Adams.
UGK, you want to go first?
Well, if it's going to be like that.
It's going to be like that.
Your first word is banana.
Okay. Now here we go. I'm the thriller in Manila. Hanging off bananas like a gorilla. Bananas, they high in potassium. The way I'm smashing them. That's right, with veracity, audacity.
Cockroach.
Oh, I hope my apartment don't got no cockroaches. But it does. It's in the Lower East Side. But we ride on the freestyle. I thrive.
All of it.
Oh, all of it. Vitality, totality, 100%. Listen, I done spent 15 years doing this skill, and I'ma rock it right now cause I'm going downhill.
Last word, hoopla.
Oh yeah, Willy Wonka got them Indian Oompa Loompas. I don't deal with all that hoopla, but I'm hula hooping. Yeah, I'm here with my troopin'. We keep it going, that's right, you know that we moving.
James, your first word is garish.
Woo! Don't let me starish, yo, don't mean to be garish. Wanna come with things that make people wanna be embarrassed. So well and like to know where I'm going. Wanna say this, but my rhymes don't be slowing.
Grub.
Ooh, let me rub my big old tummy as it's time to rub. Cause they so, you know, really loves that food. It doesn't matter where I am and whatever neighborhood.
Anthony, one word left. Your word is loquacious.
Okay, then I'll be trippingly running down the verbs and adjectives, pronouns. Oh yeah, give it to me, go down. We gonna just make it just be delicious. Because off my lips, it's always loquacious. I'm here on the station of WNYC. It's the place when we meet Allison.
Let's trade shoes.
Okay.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. ran out of words, but we do what we do. We don't have no words, so we got to trade twos.
So we trade twos. How's this really dope groove? And Allison, was so nice to meet you.
All of it's truly special, unique. All right, and now UTK, come and speak.
I'll come and speak at the end of the week. The way I freak every second, man, you know it's unique.
Yo, it might be unique, but we at the peak, cause we gotta bring this rhymes to a different kind of seek.
A different kind of seek, yes, with the turban. All right, I think I do it when I'm less urban.
Less urban, what you talking about, a turban? Think you swerving into a direction you don't wanna be in.
Don't wanna be in, yo, you are Indian. But yo, it's the color complexion, cause as we be in.
Yeah, we be in, he said the word seek. That's another, particular tribe in northern India speak.
Okay, a northern India, a word I'm giving you. What the people don't know, Anthony's wearing a kimono.
Wow, Anthony's wearing a kimono. Yo, come tonight and you may see it at the show, though.
Yeah, at the show, though, I don't mean to stress. I'm just speaking about the people up in Uttar Pradesh.
Uttar Pradesh show, you know, is the best, and they can't see the show now. The show is sold out.
Show is sold out. Yo, we all sold out. We about to do this, and this is how we go out.
Yeah, we're sold out, but please don't be mad at me. We could also be talking about the freestyle of Supreme Academy.
Yeah, Academy. Academy.
Academy.
Academy.
Academy.
Academy. Academy. Freestyle of Supreme Academy. 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 Let's talk about the Academy, guys.
May we? Very quickly.
I didn't mean to bust in at the end. I just couldn't help myself.
I'm glad you jumped in.
That was awesome. Do you want to try?
Help myself.
Yeah, no, sir. Oh, please. You want to give it a shot?
This is my professional space. That's your professional space.
We're sharing the same space. Why?
The Academy. Tell me more.
Well done. Nice segue.
Yeah, this is the thing, right? And Shockwave was saying it earlier, which is everyone can learn. So, yes, there's this concept that I think most people, when they come to see our show, they're like, that's not something I could ever do. But they are moved while they're watching it. And there's something in them that also says, this is so fun. Look at all of the joy that they're having by expressing themselves. And so we've created a Freestyle of Supreme Academy where people can go through step by step the foundations of freestyle. So what skills do you need to do this thing that we do? Beatboxing being one of them. And Shockwave can teach you how to beatbox
boots,
in a pretty
cuts,
short amount of time.
Boots, cuts.
You need two
cuts,
words. Boots. Cuts.
Cuts.
Boots, cuts, boots, cuts. And you can get more and more invested and deepen your skill and your embouchure, the strength of your lips and making the boots having a higher or lower frequency to strengthen the lower resonance or upper, you know, sort of high end of the bass. And all that stuff just takes time and practice. And then slowly we start building in the concepts of, great, now how do I rhythmically relate to that beat? What is it in me that's sort of moving? What's the MC voice in my head.
It starts and so, out gibberish.
Yeah, we can totally start in gibberish. So if Shock lays a beat down, and then UTK is inspired by a musicality
da,
in his head.
Da da da. Da 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 da.
And James might also be inspired and sound totally different.
Do 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 do.
And then you can start adding words in slowly but surely. You're building a neural network inside of your brain that allows synaptic connections to travel down places that maybe you didn't think you could before. But because there's a beat, it's driving you and it accesses this deep cerebral cortex part of your brain. That's one of the first things that gets developed when you're like in utero. The first thing that you experience is your mother's heartbeat. And so beat is something that's just really innate in all of us. And when we're in a room together and we're creating music and communicating and making up these sounds together, it gets to this really rich state of flow inside of your brain. And you start like sharing perspective and you start building community and you start seeing other points of view.
We all start getting on the same Wi-Fi.
Yes. Nice. You have
same
this sort
frequency?
Of. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We don't need the password. It's automatic.
It's
we
open.
All join.
And they basically teach you how to do it. So you can start with a story. And once you start with a story, we start telling that story over a beat. Once you start telling that story over a beat, you take the gibberish that you do and start putting that story into that rhythm. And then over time, you begin to learn how to put the rhymes to it. Maybe you only have one rhyme in your sentence, but after a while, you begin to build. And no MC is the same, and you're not supposed to be. That's one of the great things about hip hop. All MCs should sound the same. I mean, should sound different.
This should sound the same, like now.
Should sound the same.
Well, you know, it's very much like active meditation, right? Your neurons are firing. It's so good. It's brain food. It's exceptionally good activity and exercise for the brain. which is
so
something.
So basically, we're saying that Allison will be freestyling next week on her show. It's going to be amazing.
Or after an 8-week course, which you can sign up for. So we take applications through freestyleofsupreme.com/academy. And there's a form that you click on and apply to the school.
For the low, low price of $178,000.
That is not true. Again, unreliable narrator. Sorry, Allison, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that the New York Times had a really interesting review. It's actually a very thoughtful review from the Times. It said, "The real secret of the show is the cast's commitment to deep attentiveness. Words and phrases called out by audience, even those you thought had been discarded, whirl back into the narrative repeatedly with all the punch of reprises. You have been heard."
Wi-Fi.
The "you have been heard" part is, that's delicious. And it was said with a lovely loquaciousness by the New York Times. So thanks for sharing that with us.
Bakarsh, define loquaciousness.
It's when, this mic's not working properly.
Yeah.
It's why are we loquacious people. It's talking too much. I should know. I've been called that since I was a child.
Why would you do that to him? That is a lovely, thank you. We're trying to stay away from reviews. But Allison, look, it doesn't, that's neither here nor there. when you're in the run of a show, whatever. Down here, it's our time. No, that's lovely that they said that. And I think there's something that we're talking about that gets created inside of the show and around freestyling as well. Like, you can do this with strangers. You get into a cipher, meaning there's some sort of beat, and then you're sharing words with each other. If at the end you don't feel like you've been heard by the group, then that cipher didn't quite do what it's supposed to do. It wasn't informed by that which came before it, nor was it willing to be changed by that which came after it. And that's the agreement that we make with Freestyle Love Supreme. We're willing to be informed by the audience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we're willing to be changed by what we do up there together.
Yeah.
You know, the big thing in improv comedy, it's almost a cliche at this point, it's yes and.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that translate to hip-hop freestyle?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean,
what's the and in hip-hop? Is it a beat? Is it a
no,
pause?
It's the continuation. Like when we trade twos, no matter what the other person says, we continue on that tangent or that thought and keep it going. And that's why the reprise, as the New York Times said, we might hear a suggestion and it may not work specifically for that particular moment, but we will come back to it so that the people know, yes, and you've been heard. Yes, and we got what you said. And we'll bring it back. So then everybody in the audience who has given a suggestion definitely feels like, well, knows they're a part of it because we know they've been heard. We put it into our show, so it made its way to the stage.
Mm-hmm. Toughest night, toughest thing that you guys had to, somebody gave you and were like, whoa, what do I do with that?
Defenestrate.
Defenestrate.
Yeah. Let me explain. I think some of the things, we've been talking really nice about the brothers in the cast. And let me tell you something, man. UTK is a giving person and wonderful person. And Shockwave is the foundation of our crew. And, Lynn is just, he's a great rapper, the big star and everything. We got Bill. We got Arthur. But Anthony is a brilliant person. And Anthony's got degrees that, that T'Challa from Wakanda doesn't have. And so he knows definitions of words that brothers don't know. So Anthony thinks it's funny when some person out there has like a 6-syllable word and he goes, yeah, we're going to rap about that. And then Tony Award-winning James Igo has to look at him and go, what does that mean? So Anthony, you can ask him about any place on earth or in some fictional country, and Anthony knows what it is. You can ask Anthony anywhere.
He's got
in the
one
world.
Of those Rolodex brains.
Seriously, uh-huh. Right? He's a Rolodex of words, so he just picks words, and we always look at him like, how could you do that? And what's wonderful about it is it literally is that moment of watching the audience go, how the heck are they going to do it? And we know that we'll be safe. We'll know that we'll make it. We just don't know how we're going to get there. But yeah, defenestrate was the one. That word. Oh, just see the audience's eyes when he chose it. Everybody in the building was like, and UTK and I looked at each other like, well, I guess we're doing this. And so yeah. Anthony begins to rap. And once he begins to rap, that's when the warm feeling of, okay, this is about to be fun. And he starts rapping and we all did it and the audience lost their mind because we were able to go through it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had an audience you had to win over? I would think people who come to the show are in. Like there's a reason that they're there. But what is it like when you have an audience that, has the arms crossed and leaning back?
Well, it's what you said. It's this sort of yes and mentality. And we come in, the love in our name is there for a reason. And it's an energy that today, especially in this city, New York, is not a feeling that is openly expressed by a lot of people. Inclusion and warmth and community is not something you feel when you got your headphones on the subway or when you're walking on the street and you're in a bubble, especially in metropolitan cities like this one. And then the audience comes in and we go, we took your phone. We have communal bathrooms. We might have made you wait 10 minutes or so. And a lot of times at the beginning of the show, they are back in their seats and they're sort of like, we don't know if we can trust you with our hearts and our words and our vulnerability. It takes a lot of bravery to raise your hand in a dark room, even if it's pitch black, and say a word. And some people are born with a little bit more bravery, or they've come to see the show so they feel safer.
Those are called white men, and it's a structural inequality.
Fair enough. I was wondering. I was like, what are those people? I've never met. I don't know what that's like. But for us to then create a safe environment for them to sort of meet us halfway and then become part of the show, it takes time. It takes a couple songs, maybe 10, 15 minutes. And we've had several shows where you start the show and you're like, oh, these guys are, they're a little scared, or they're a little tired, or they haven't had dinner, or they ate too much dinner. And then by the end of the show, it's a standing ovation because they feel included, they feel a part of, and we feel connected to them too. You know, it's up to us also to be like, okay, we have to trust you too. Like, we all, it's a human experience, and it's really interesting every night how it plays out. Generally, to the favor of everyone in the room. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Anthony is mean to people. and alienates.
Just cause?
No. Yeah, he yelled at a man last night for having a birthday. And that poor man went home feeling ashamed that he was born that day.
Some of the suggestions will be false. No, oftentimes we ask for audience volunteers, and at the end of our show, we bring someone up on stage, and a person will think, oh, it's my birthday, so I deserve to go on stage. And we actually look for a little something more. We look for that person to have done something that day. And so the prompt then becomes, cool, come on up here, tell us about your day, but please make sure that something happened or that you did something today. And so when I said that part, their hand went down. And I was like, oh, okay, you seem okay. Like you're...
It's fine. I'm sorry, dude.
No, not
you don't
at
have
all.
To explain yourself. Anthony's like,
but as
hey,
a host,
hey,
as a host of an improv show, it is definitely my job to make sure everyone in that audience is on this journey together. So, and I think I did alienate that birthday person.
Oh, Anthony.
I'm so sorry. Happy belated birthday. I know it was yesterday, but I hope you had a great day.
Did you know he's listening like that? Now I'm going to listen to his freestyle. So they talk about what happened.
Exactly.
To
he's going to call in and crank
unfollowed
in a minute.
All yeah. of the unfollowed. Things.
So,
that's so funny.
What's everybody doing after the show closes? What are you doing, Akash?
I'm going off to Boston to work on a film. Yeah. Which I can't talk about, but I appreciate it.
Yes.
I'm excited for the opportunity.
It's amazing. I will be going back to the multi-award-winning show Hamilton, as well as a few Disney cartoon voiceovers, because I do that as well.
How about for you? What's next?
I'll be heading back to San Francisco, where I actually live.
Oh, wow.
And I have a company there called Speechless, and we do improv thinking workshops for corporations and schools. And then also, I'm lucky enough to be starting up the Freestyle of Supreme Academy, along with Shockwave and Jelly Donut and, you know, a bunch of the other people from Freestyle of Supreme.
Yeah, that's what I'll be sort of doing, is sort of helping to head up the academy with Anthony and another member of our group, Andrew Bancroft.
All right, I'm going to get this right. Chris Sullivan, that was easy. Shockwave. Anthony Veneziale.
Va bene, tutte bene.
James Monroe Eigelhart.
Eigelhart.
Oh, so right. Close. Hard G. Okay. Eigelhart. And Utkash Ambudkar.
See? Mine was easiest.
I know, man. How about that?
I sent along phonetic spellings earlier in the week.
That was great.
I had to practice it.
So lovely.
You did great, Allison.
Thank you for this.
Freestyle of Supreme. It's at the Greenwich House until March 3rd. Maybe we'll get an extension.
No, guys. We have to be out of the space.
Oh,
we
did.
Can't.
Yeah, we're going
to do it. I tried to get you an extension, man. Hey, thank you for coming in. This was
Please.
So much fun.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC.
All of It!